I do know who you are. I do know what I want. We have a very particular set of skills. Skills we've acquired over a certain amount of time. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. So I will find you, and I will interview you for the Gaffer Tapes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Gaffer Tapes. We've decided to have another series and have a little go. And it's been 4 or 5 years, actually 5 years next month since we did this. And then it was going okay, and then COVID kicked in. So we're having another go. And before, I thought I'd say that before I introduce my esteemed guest. But that's enough of that. Let's get on with the show. State your name and record.
My name is Matt Gray. 12 years as an assistant manager after retiring at 25 through injury. 12 years assistant manager at Eastleigh, Aldershot, Crawley. The odd little scouting mission in there for Millwall. And then got my first manager's job in May 2019 at Sutton United, and was there for 4.5 years.
I didn't realise that was your first managerial role. I know you'd been at a little bit at Woking with Jason, but that was spun round.
Yeah, that was a month. Yeah, at the end of a season. Yeah, Jason Goodliffe, who became my assistant.
Yeah.
Asked me to go and help him, obviously through yourself, Dave, and yeah. And I want to help Jace there as caretaker for the end of the season and 5 games. At Woking, so there was a brief spell there as well.
Yeah, the Aldershot one I remember. Crawley as well. We maybe go on the Crawley, and what I like to do early on, Matt, is you know, when I've done this before, you interview people that you don't know. You interview people that you have a relationship when you play against them. You maybe have a beer, and you interview people who are your mates. And I think it's important people know that. We're mates. We've known each other a while. We get on well. We went to the Masters together last year, which is could be a whole interview on its own, you know. But but you've no idea what's coming here,
no.
You know. And I think that's important as well. But just going back to the because you did a similar thing to me where you were an assistant for a long time. Benefits of that? Did that make you more than ready?
Massive benefits, probably helped in so many ways, good and bad. Unfortunately, listen, every boy wants to be a professional footballer, don't they? And they want to play in the Premier League and captain your country and whatever else. But I certainly had a good go at that, but 6 operations in 6 years and couldn't get fit really from 19 and finished up at 24, 25. But even, I've said this before, but I remember going on an England trial, last 40 of England trial, under 15, up at Keele University, and coming in back in the room and writing sessions down, and just always had the eye for the coaching and always had the eye for the management side of things, and certainly knew whenever that day was that I was just going to stop playing football, that I wanted to go into that side, and I knew that from a very young age. So yeah, the tough times and the harsh reality of injuries and rehabs and operations and that tough period meant probably that I got a head start in the coaching world, because I got my first job briefly at Havant at Waterlooville under Ian Baird just for a month or two before he left for Eastleigh, and then that's when I got the assistant manager's job and worked with him. So that period of 12 years, I'd say probably 10 at clubs and 2 within the recruitment departments of Millwall, 2 separate years, that really stood me in good stead, because there's some great times at you know, getting in the playoffs at Eastleigh, Aldershot, League Cup runs, beating West Ham away, Upton Park was amazing, playing Man United at home, having a glass of red with Sir Alex. Some great spells there, but then some tough times in terms of administration, not getting paid for 5 months, and working with different managers as well, with different experiences and different coaches' assistants. So my spell at all those clubs really stood me in good stead, that when it came around to being invited to come and help out with Paul Doswell and Ian Baird at Sutton and helping out with the coaching rather than doing the scouting, that I certainly knew around that time that I knew I was ready to be a manager and wanted to be a manager. And thankfully, with them inviting me into the club for half a season and me getting to know the chairman and the club and the board and everything that what Sutton was at the time, really stood me in good stead to give me my first managerial opportunity.
Yeah, and we will jump around a bit because I want to keep us here now that you sort of said something, but we will dance around because, you know, it's not my day job, you know, so it's just fun. But
yeah.
I'm not surprised at all. Like, since I met you, you've got that presence, the organisation, the application. You know, we joke and we're typical football people. We're competitive. You know, we play golf with good fun, but we're competitive. You know, even when we drink, we're competitive. but on a serious, I knew that was you. You know, you want to be the man. And I think that once you've done your apprenticeship like you have under three or four managers, you've picked up as much as you want to pick up, and now you want to be the guy. So I get that. We finished with your last club, obviously, Sutton. And I've put down here, I sort of equate it to what Leicester City did. I think Sutton winning the National League at that time was nearly on a par with Leicester City winning the Premier League. What do I mean by that? Sutton's a smaller club. I know Bruce won't mind me saying that. God bless him, he's a good guy. And Leicester City were the same. So it was a real, it was a real achievement, you know. So tell me the big things that jump out at you when you think about it. We'll go into detail. Yeah. There's plenty of time, you know. But would you agree with me? It was a major achievement at that time.
Just like you say, the Leicester type underdog feel of achieving that, even myself as manager, I didn't expect it to.
I'm not going to lie. First job.
In my first job and second season, of course, I never expected that at all. And yeah, I remember when Dawes and Bailey said they were leaving Sutton and would I be interested in the manager's job? I remember being a little bit wary because, you know, Dawes has won this. He had unbelievable success for 11 years and he certainly set the foundations for me to lead on and an unbelievable job he did there. Promotion from the National South and the cup run, obviously, as well. Ended up beating Leeds and Wimbledon and facing Arsenal. So, unbelievable. I was worried with, you know, the financial side of the club and where they were at. And I remember hearing different directors and certainly when I went for the interview, two interviews, that they felt they were punching above their weight in the National League.
And they
were just happy to be in the National League. So I'm no household name, obviously, and I jumped at the opportunity to manage Sutton, certainly not for any budget reasons. And
good fit, though.
But a great fit in terms of, I knew the most important thing and things I'd learned, and you touched briefly on it earlier, but my experiences at different clubs, the most important relationship is the manager with the board and the chairman. That's the most important relationship. If that breaks down or that's not right, then everything has a knock-on effect within the club. And me being a coach or an assistant under different managers and seeing problems with the manager I was working with at the time, and several managers I've seen this with, and breakdowns with owners or chairmen, that it would affect them. It would then filter into the staff. It would then work its way into the players. And suddenly, within the whole atmosphere within the club, it can change everything with that breakdown of one relationship.
Yeah.
And what I certainly knew...
Let me interrupt you.
Yeah.
Is that harder now? Is that harder now? I'm going to pause for a second. Yeah, sorry, I paused it because not now, Reeves, come in. Yeah. So we'll keep it in this time because just one of our friends who's going to sit in and listen to interviews. Not a big deal. But to get back to the point when you were saying the relationship between chairman and manager's massive, the point I wanted to make to you, is that harder now? Because effectively, most clubs at the level you're going to want to work at will have a director of football in place.
Yeah, they'll probably have the middle man, but I think in between that manager and owner stroke chairman. But I think it's so important that chairman, owner, director of football, that is near enough in every club now, yeah. and manager are all on the same page and are all in it together. Yeah. And you are adding another person to the mix there, which I didn't have certainly initially at Sutton. But that is vitally important, of that dynamic is all aligned with the club's ethos, direction, and how they want to go and get results. And many ways to do it, how the team plays, the recruitment side of things. So it's massive that those two stroke three compartments of the club are well aligned. And that was the biggest advantage I had of having 6 months helping Doz and Birdie out, that I got to know the chairman, and I got to know some of the directors. And I knew that, of course, all Sutton wanted me to do, and the chairman jokes, and he said it after we won the league, that it's a famous Bruce Elliott quote, you know, that I failed because when they gave me the job, all they wanted me to do was keep him in the National League, I failed and took him out.
I've never said it to me, actually. Yeah, he's cost me a fortune.
So I just knew, though, that been there chairman 27, 28 years, and the people is the most important thing. And I knew that I was going to work with Bruce and Adrian Barrow, the vice chairman, and how straight, honest, hardworking, and that we were all going to be in together. And there'd be good times and there'd be some tough times, but I knew we were all together on that. And that certainly was the case.
That's the strength of the relationship. That's the strength of what came out of it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why we had the success.
Yeah,
totally was the biggest thing was my relationship, certainly with the whole board, but especially those two and how we worked well together on a day-to-day basis. But I got off to a tough start. Well, the first five games, 1-2, drew 3. So I was thinking, okay, it's not too bad. And then went 1-14. And that was a real tough period, straight off the bat as a manager.
Yeah.
But not once did they ever, waver at all. And
did you?
No. I was looking at our performances and I still had belief in what we're doing. I knew we needed certain tweaks and certain changes here and there. And that eventually came. But
let's go into that. See, and oddly enough, this series came out of a conversation me and you had on the radio 5 years ago. This is where this series came from. One day we were doing the show with Tim, the non-league show, and we hadn't seen each other for a while, and we just ended up nearly doing this.
Yeah.
And he said after the show, why don't you do that? So we can never get you back on then, but it's 5 years later.
Yeah.
But what you've done there is a typical press conference answer, which we've all done a million times. You know, you've got 5 minutes and you can go, answered. I want it deeper than that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So what I'm saying to you is that, you know, what made you feel that you were all right? Because 1-14 is sackable today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to still have the confidence that you're going in the right direction, give me the reins and reasons for that.
I had, like we were saying, the 12 years experience at League 2, National League level, lowest levels of professional football. I'd had a hell of a lot of experience of watching games and being involved in games that I believed there was ways to go and get results. And I look at the Premier League and the fantastic pitches that they play in and amazing stadiums that keep the wind and the rain out.
Yeah.
And when you play at League 2, National League level, you have to, over a 46-game season, go and do everything. Go and win a football match.
Yeah.
You have to go up north. You have to go on a Tuesday night in January when it's sideways, rain and wet and windy. The pitches are really hit and miss.
Yeah.
And I feel you have to try and build a team and a squad that can be capable of going to do anything at any time throughout a season. August, when the sun's out, it's all lovely and the pitches are great.
Yeah.
But then you have to go and roll your sleeves up. And it's different. So I knew as well in my first pre-season and the squad that I inherited and some good players and inherited my captain and my vice-captain, Craig Eastman and Harry Buettman. So fortunate to have those there. But I knew also that what I wanted my team to look like, and that didn't happen overnight. And I wanted to try and create that.
Yeah.
Now, what helped a little bit as well was we got knocked out of the FA Cup and it seemed like everything was going against us. That was to Billericay actually. We were 1-0 up and could have been 4-5-6 on the day. And Alan Julian, the goalkeeper, now manager of Hampton Richmond, came up in the injury time and scored a header from 18 yards from a free kick. And got
you find that happens? Oh. When you're in a run like that, it doesn't.
Yeah, and it took the replay, got beat on the Tuesday night at Billericay, and And I said, God, there's another defeat, you know. So it was hard, but I was consistent in my messages, in my belief. But the support I had from Bruce and Aid was why I kept consistent in my messages.
Well, that's a brilliant message, because that's not something that you hear often in interviews, and it's not something that happens often.
Yeah.
Because chairman, and I can say this because I'm retired and you can't, some chairman can be an absolute nightmare in situations like this.
Yeah.
Because they're now public profiling, people have a dig at them, so they hammer you. So, and I know Bruce, and I've known him for a long time, and he's a top man. I said, great.
Yeah.
But I put him along the lines of when I managed Hendon, I had Ivor Arbiter, God rest his soul, who was exactly the same. It's like your dad. It's like managing a team for your daddy, yeah, yeah. You know, and, yeah. and your first job, massive. Let's go on a little bit just about your staff during periods like this. I know Jason, you know, yeah. And Andy Little was in there with you.
Not at that stage. Yeah. He came in when we got promoted to the Football League.
Yeah.
But it was very much, you know, Jace, I would say he's like my best signing. He is and was my best signing. He was unbelievable. And certainly through that period as my assistant, and I say my assistant, I feel like we're really in it together. You know, I've got the title as manager, but...
Well, somebody has to have that.
Of course.
And don't get me wrong, there has been joint managers, and I've had custard pies in my face because some of them have been really successful. I don't get it. I think clarity, you could, when the door's shut, you can say whatever you want each other, but someone has to carry the can.
But he totally got me, totally got how and believed in how we wanted to go and get results. Yeah. His knowledge of players and the level, and from his experience playing, being assistant and coaching at Stevenage and etc. at different clubs.
He worked under some great managers. <for
that. laughs> I don't think you work under
that.
He was invaluable in that period. But yeah, you're close with your assistant, you know, coming in the following morning and having to dust yourself off and go again. But the consistent message, me and him, to the players, and the belief within the players, because they could see it wasn't far off as well.
Yeah. What took you out of it, that particular run? Remember?
A win.
It was simple as that.
Yeah, as simple as that. We as I say, we got beaten in the FA Cup, which meant we had a free weekend. So we had 2 weeks without a game, and that gave us a lot of time on the training pitch.
Yeah.
We also just tweaked a couple of things in terms of signings, made a couple of signings, got a goalkeeper on loan from Nick Zanev, who was brilliant, came in on loan from Wimbledon. We got a player or two back fit as well. And it's a few things just clicked in place within that 2 weeks. And we went down to Torquay, who were second in the league, top of the form table. And we just dropped into the relegation zone for the first time, and we were bottom of the form table. And I remember a long old drive. We travelled everywhere on the day. We were the hybrid model that season. When we were at Sutton in the National League, we were three-quarter time. So we weren't full professional, but travelled everywhere on the day. No pre-match meals, anything like that. And we were driving on the coach down to Torquay on the Saturday morning. And I remember thinking again, you know, another tough game. A good side, Gary Johnson in charge. And
we'll come back to Torquay and Gary Johnston later.
Yeah, but we went down there, and I couldn't believe it through the run that we've had, the amount of supporters that we took down there. I remember before the game looking up and thinking how many we'd taken down at Torquay, and under the circumstances of the form we were in.
Did you get stick off them?
No.
Really?
No. The odd little bit, of course. Yeah, there was moments, yeah. As a whole, no. But of course there were a few moments and instances, but nothing too bad. But I remember just mixing it up that game. You know what managers try and do, but I didn't normally go out for warm-ups. I decided to go out for the warm-ups. I actually thought, right, these supporters have come down, I'm going to go and say hello to them before the game, and just mixed a couple of things up. And we managed to win that day 2-1, which then just set us going. And that really gave the team, in such a big game against such a good side who was second, for us to go down there and win 2-1. And then the unity within the club, getting back on the coach with the directors, that was massive for me. They're a huge part of the club and what they come to. And it's not normal for directors to travel on a team bus. But at Sutton, I bought into what we were and what the club was. And the board, the players, the staff, we're all in together. So we'd get on that bus. There was no better feeling. And we all got on that bus together, all travelled back up to London, and we got that win. And it was a great buzz. And I could just sense that we were going to get on the roll. And we did. And we had a really good Christmas period. And then into the new year. And we were going really under the radar. And then obviously COVID hit us with about, I think we had 8 games to go. And we were 8 points off the playoffs. But we had real momentum. Now, I'm not saying we would have got there, but I don't think we would have been far away.
Yeah.
But I went into, so when then COVID hit us and obviously had the season stopped and then we had the summer off and we the uncertainty of knowing when we were going to start again. That was the best period for me.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about COVID, but lockdown for me gave me a real period to analyse my first season.
Yeah, but if I interrupt you when you talk about the run, the come out of a run of 1 win and 14, to go into a run where you probably had 1 loss and 14, you can't go from the bottom of the table to within the playoffs without an unbelievable run. Talk to me about the differences in the mood in the camp at the start of it, during it, and towards the end, the different pressures that both bring. Because I'm always interested in how people deal with that, because yeah. I've been at both ends of the league. It's totally different pressure.
It is. And whether you use the word lucky, fortunate, people with the people around you, what I mean in this, of course, there's outside noise in terms of supporters and the odd rumbling and grumblings, of course.
Yep.
Maybe within certain characters within the dressing room.
Find them out.
Yeah, of a little bit of all uncertainty here. But what I was, as I say, lucky, fortunate, whatever the word you want to use, is I had an unbelievable chairman and vice chairman with consistency in how they acted and what they believed in. Unbelievable assistant manager with the consistency in his and my captain and my vice captain who nipped anything in the bud because my relationship with them.
Yeah. Massive, isn't it?
So now when you've got the chairman, the vice chairman, the manager, the assistant manager, the captain, the vice captain,
All the same players. But that's nearly, people talk about a good team has to have a backbone down the middle.
And there's your backbone.
There's
your backbone.
Yeah.
And now no one, and if anyone tried to waver on that, you put them straight back in line and give them the belief. And I just feel I'm quite a level person. I think you always just got to be quite level. You don't get too high. You don't get too low. You stay consistent with your beliefs and your messages. You're always looking to improve. You're always looking to evolve.
Yeah, listen, they're easy words.
Yeah.
I've said it myself. They're easy words. But it's not easy to carry out,
yeah,
you know, to keep yourself even keeled. Let's talk about we always talk about negatives. You know, it's hard to stay upbeat when you're down, but it's hard to keep your feet down when you're up.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're both as important, aren't they?
But probably going back to what we initially spoke about, Dave, is because of my experience as assistant, seeing so many highs and lows and how it can, and also how quickly it can change both ways as well, that in football, I feel you do need to keep consistent and level, and knowing that anything around the corner can happen because it can change so quickly, as you know.
And just come back to that, you talk about being an assistant, and obviously Jason, I know well, he worked for me, I joke, but he's a top player as well, and I knew the two would be great together. But you talk to me a little bit about the different relationships you had as an assistant, because you worked with Dermot,
Andy Scott, Dean Holdsworth, Ian Baird,
talk to me a little bit about how they...
All absolutely brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah, all absolutely brilliant, but in their own ways.
Yeah.
All completely different as well. And
well, what does that teach you then?
It teaches you to be yourself. Because they maximise their... I'm not them, and they're certainly not me, and they weren't each other either. But they all had... Baird, was great in terms of the discipline and the people buying into him and wanting to play for him and his standards that he drove within the club. And if someone dropped from giving 100%, he'd be on them. And I learned so much off Baird, so much, especially as my first manager I worked under. And Dean Holdsworth with, you know, his crazy gang, Wimbledon style, and the togetherness that
good PR
create.
As well. Yeah, and he was good at that.
And the togetherness and the environment that he created was everyone came in with a smile on their face and a buzz around. Andy Scott was just a really good coach and the detail and the organisation. And he was, you know, he'd won League Two with Brentford, and I learnt so much of Scotty. Still speak to Scotty and that now. I met him the other day, and he's now technical director at Charlton, and he's gone to that side of it we were mentioning. But yeah, really very good on presentations and structured, and learnt so much of Scotty. And then Dermot came from a different background in terms of the academy side, and coming from Chelsea, and the people and his skills, and what a great guy he was. And I learnt so much. And
I suppose, sorry to interrupt you, I suppose you, in Dermot's case, you were probably as important to him as he was to you, because he was coming out of the profession, that level, into what you'd actually more experience of the level.
Yeah, I remember, because he won the Youth Cup with Chelsea and got promoted to the under-23s manager and based at Cobham, and how Chelsea did things. And my experience was how to do things at League Two level, and it's
totally a different ballgame.
I think you remember asking me on one of the first days together. I think we had Hartlepool quite early on in the season. He was like, "Oh, would we fly up there?" I was like, no, we won't be doing that. But no, so no, just you know, such a great guy, and I miss him. And I think,
God bless him. I met him a couple of times for yourself with a couple of beers, and he was a funny man, and you know, bless him, you know. But moving on, so coming back to Sutton, you know, you miss out on the playoffs, you get to analyse yourself within the COVID period, and then effectively you come out and win the league. So let's spend a couple of minutes on that.
As I said, that lockdown period, really, I watched every game back, you know, and it was the weather was lovely around then as well, wasn't it? You know, going out for walks, clearing your head, thinking about things, watching games. It was a really good period for me to analyse the previous season, to know that I'd got the core nucleus of how I was doing things. To I believed that we could challenge for the playoffs. I thought we could challenge for the playoffs. And Isaac Alafay.
Sorry, signings? Did you bring anybody in?
I bought with Nick Zanev, who brilliant, went back to Wimbledon. Signed Dean Bazanis, goalkeeper, obviously, who was fantastic for us. No, the hardcore nucleus was there. Bought Dean Bazanis in, bought a couple of others. Toby Show Silver came in. Bought a couple of others in. But Isaac Alafay, who we'd signed on loan from Mill, centre forward, 5 games before we stopped with COVID, and I just knew he would give us what the missing bit, what we needed.
Yeah.
And I had through my scouting there, I had a really good relationship with Mill, and sort of promised that he'd come back to us. But then Gary Rowett's assistant, who was manager of Mill at the time, left and went up to St Johnston. And then I got a phone call from Mill, "I'm really sorry. We're going to have to move the goalposts and we're sending him up there." But Scotland started before we did in England. They were a month ahead. So Tanto went up to Scotland, and I was gutted. I thought that was the missing piece for us to seriously challenge.
Yeah.
And he went up to Scotland. They'd started the season and we were in pre-season. So after every pre-season game, I remember just looking, St Johnston, unused sub, played for 5 minutes, unused sub. And Mill must have got sick of me, because I think every game I was ringing, game, he's not played again. And in the end, he missed the first 2 games of the season for us, and we got him. He came off the bench in the third game. And as soon as I got him in, I knew, and the players knew as well.
Because they knew him as well.
And they knew, actually, we could achieve something here. And no disrespect at the time to these three clubs in that season, but I felt that I thought Aldershot, our first game was Maidenhead at home, then Aldershot away, and then Weymouth, that I felt they were going to be bottom half teams for that season. And I thought, if I'm right in what I'm thinking with us, that I feel we need to pick up 9 points, and thankfully we did.
Do you publicise that? Do you have some managers have a points?
Not at all. Never did, and never did even in the running or anything with the players. It was just
one game.
Next game. So, but I just knew, when driving back from games or training with Jace, we would obviously talk.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, with your system. But I just thought, if we want to be a playoff team, then I feel we need to pick 7 to 9 points out of these three games. And we managed to pick 9.
Yeah.
And then we played on the Tuesday night, and I felt that Notts County, for me, were the favourites to win the league that season. Of course, there were massive clubs in the division that year, with Chesterfield, Wrexham, Stockport. But I felt Notts County, for me, were the best team. Yeah. You know, Rodriguez, who's now playing for Oxford in the Championship, and Wootton, who's now at Stockport, they had some top players, and Neil Ardley as manager as well, and his experience. And I felt they were the best team. They were the favourites for me. Sorry.
Yeah, and a big club in itself. When you go to play there, you know you're at a different level.
Yeah, yes, a massive club. And we played them at home on the Tuesday night. I thought, right, this will be the test for us. This will be the bar. And we went toe to toe with them, and we made a mistake in the 93rd minute and got beat 1-0. But I knew the following morning. I woke up and I thought, well, if they're the best team in the league, and we've gone toe to toe, I thought we're not going to be far away, even though we'd lost the game. And we managed to bounce back, win, and managed to keep going.
Yeah, and just on, you're talking about at home, obviously you had the 4G pitch then. What's the pluses and minuses of that? Because obviously people think it's a plus, and I'm one of them. It has to be a plus if you play on it every other week. But then every other week you're not playing on it.
Yeah.
You know, talk to me about, and people say older players don't particularly like it because of their joints and all the nonsense. Talk to me through, tell me the minuses first then, and then the pluses.
The minuses, listen, you get different quality of 3Gs, don't you?
Yes.
There's different quality of what is put down. Now, some of them you can walk on, you go, oh no, straight away they're bobbling and it's not great. Thankfully, what Sutton had put down was a really high quality one. Now, what were the negatives? I'm struggling to think of too many, Dave, off the top of my head.
You train on it every day.
Yeah, we trained on it every day. So in terms of, we're sitting here in January and the storm we just had last night and the weather, there'll be not a lot of lower league football clubs training on grass today.
Yeah.
They'll be training on 3Gs.
Yes.
And I think the consistency, the quality and the tempo that you get, because at lower league levels we can't have the pitches that the training grounds of the top
level.
Championship and Premier League clubs have got.
Yeah.
So the quality of training lifts massively rather than training on muddy, heavy, bobbly pitches.
Agreed.
And our consistency and quality intensity of training really helped us.
And what about this myth of aches and pains and senior players not particularly liking training on it?
No. None of my players ever complained. Now, of course, players who have had knee injuries, operations in the past might come on there and go, oh, I've got to be careful. But to be honest with you, if they're training grass, I think they've got to be careful. It's not that they're running around like a 19-year-old. No. If it's on grass, it's their body.
Oddly enough, I went to Barnet yesterday to see Dean and watch them train. And they trained on 4G because of exactly what you said. And they're fortunate where they've got the pitch. And the quality, this has brought back to me, the quality was excellent, because it's sharp and it's zippy and good stuff. And so you get yourself off to a good start. And did you add anybody? Was any Stardust added during the season?
Towards when we came out, because the season didn't finish till the end of May, but it was around Christmas time, so normally it's halfway through the season. It wasn't quite that year.
Yeah. Where were you then?
Right in the mix. There was us, Torquay, Hartlepool, Stockport, Notts County, Wrexham. There was a good group of us, Chesterfield, of course.
Yes.
There was a good group of 7 or 8 at the Torquay, at the top of the league. So we was in that mix, and we were certainly in what I wanted to be in the playoff mix. We were in that. But, I just remember after Halifax at home, which was, I think it was around Christmas time, that Bruce and Aid pulled me into the empty bar. Of course, there's no supporters at the game. And after a game, he just said, look, we're really struggling to financially stay at this level. And with the budget that we had at the time, which was, it would have been a bottom 4 or 5 budget. And we're struggling to do that, Matt. And we're like, right, I'm not right. So, but we think we need some investment, and I've turned it down for so many times over the years.
Yeah.
But if we want to stay at this level, that we'd need to bring some investment in. So that's when it started to happen a little bit, just to try and stay in the National League.
Yeah.
And that's when we signed a couple because of the position we were in. And also, Sutton United have never been, of course, a football league club, and were pinching themselves that they're a National League club.
Yeah.
So they thought, these opportunities don't come around too often.
Yeah.
And why don't we have a little bit of a go? And I say a go, we didn't splash any money out by any means, but we got a couple more in bodies to help us.
Bolster the
squad. Squad for the second half of the season. And certainly, you know, there was someone like Reece Brown who made a good impact for us, but Donovan Wilson, the striker. What we managed to do is clubs, we signed in from Bath City, National South had stopped. Again, we were National League playing, National South had stopped.
Yeah.
So we got Donovan in, who Jason knew really well from playing in the Wolves youth teams with Jace's son, Ben, who was our centre half. So Donovan came in and got some big goals for us in the second half of the season. And just took a little bit of pressure off of Tanto, who was brilliant for us.
So, okay. So back to yourself, like personally. So now you find yourself, you're in a running, you're top, you went top, didn't you? You were in and around the top two anyway. Now you're in a position, and your first manager's job, where effectively you can win one of the toughest leagues, I think, in the pyramid to win. Where is the experience? How did you deal with that? And not only how did you deal with it, how did you come to them conclusions? Where did that experience come from to deal with it? Because
I've never been in that position
before. Not many people. Listen, there's people who have done 1,000 games have never been in that position. Yeah. So I'm saying, I know in his career, Jason was successful. I know in your shorter career, you'd been successful and you played at a good level. But this is a whole different ball game now.
Totally.
Talk to me about the conversations and how you dealt with that and the noise around it.
I remember speaking to a couple of people around the time. I don't want to keep using the words consistent. I didn't want to change anything that I was doing because that was getting results.
Yeah.
But all I kept thinking and what was happening is that we want to get into the playoffs. We want to get into the playoffs. Right. But then we played Dagenham away and we scored a last minute penalty to win 2-1. And I remember the team always used to put on, from Jamie Collins, who was one of my coaches.
Yeah.
First game of the season when we played Maidenhead, just before the game, he put the song Freak from Desire on. Yeah.
It's Will Griggs on fire, actually, so, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. So he put that song on, and it just got into a routine that we'd put that song on at 2:50, just before we'd walk out. And I never thought anything of it. And I never used to go in the dressing room after they warm up.
Yeah.
I used to keep out of the dressing room until the linesman would come down the tunnel, give you a knock, and I'd go in, say 20 seconds, and then I'd go out again. I wasn't one for going around and talking. Yeah. The work's done. So they would put the music on, and that'd be the last song before they'd walk out of the tunnel. And then when we played Dagenham, which had been about just over the halfway stage, I'm guessing, and away from home, Tuesday night, Harry Buteman pops up again, Mr. Reliable, scores two penalties in the game, actually, but scores the second penalty in the 93rd minute, and we win 2-1. And I remember at Dagenham, the tunnel's behind the goal. And I remember walking off the pitch, no supporters. And I was one of the last with Jace and John Barden, our right back, walking off the pitch. And because we shook the hands of the referee and I'd nipped back to the dugout. And we're walking down. And suddenly, for the first time after a game, I could hear the song.
Right.
And John Barden has turned to us and gone, "They're playing our song. They're playing our song." And he's gone running down the tunnel. And me and Jace, the last ones in there, and I can still picture it now, standing at the door of Dagenham's changing room. You go down the tunnel, turn right, standing at the door with Jace and looking at all the players dancing and singing and hugging and bouncing. The whole changing room was bouncing. And then for the first time, without, no one spoke about it, but I knew they knew.
Yeah.
And I knew we knew that we're not just in the playoffs here, we're in a title race.
Yeah.
And we think we can do it.
Yeah, well, that's the bigger point.
And we think we can do it.
Yeah, that's the bigger point.
And we think we can do it now. We kept going. And I remember every time we won, now we're coming in, and the song's going on.
And you need a wee bit of, nobody, it's funny, nobody gets injured in these situations.
No.
Nobody wants to be suspended because they're all bought in. Yeah.
Exactly. And we kept our song going and we kept the results going.
How did you keep you and Jay
I'm not going to lie to you, Dave. It was really hard because the media interest, the outside noise, the supporters, it changes in that running because everyone starts going, oh, what if, do you know, 123 years, Sutton United, never been a football league.
Exactly,
club.
Yeah.
And things start building building up with you. And you
but broke just, a British record. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm keen to know, because we all deal with it, and this is what I've found brilliant about this series. But tell me about...
There was a good nervous buzz around. Yeah. Inside your stomach, that every day, but you couldn't wait to come in and train, and you couldn't wait for the next game. But you just kept going to the next game. You didn't set targets. You didn't look at anyone else's results.
No.
You didn't
worry never about.
No, you never mentioned anything.
Yeah.
Until there was only one time that I did, and that was really late on. That I just believed when you're in the title race, and like I've said, there was probably eight teams that suddenly went to seven, and they dropped away.
Yeah.
And then suddenly went to six and dropped away. And then we found ourselves, there's four of us. Stockport, Hartlepool.
Torquay
and us.
Yeah.
And suddenly there was four. Wrexham, Chesterfield had just dropped away a touch. And you're ticking them off.
Yeah.
Who's in your race with you? And then I remember...
I can hear the excitement in your
voice. Yeah, it's great.
Because it comes back.
Yeah, it's great. And then Stockport stuttered a bit. And Stockport suddenly become a little bit of a gap. And then there was three of us.
Yeah, but that's the history of it. What I'm saying is, how did you deal with the noise? Because I know for a fact you'd have been asked every time you're interviewed in every newspaper interview, every time you're interviewed anything, that they would have been saying, you can win the league.
Yeah.
You can win. How did you deal with that?
Just being level, Dave.
Just kept going.
It would be great in terms of, it's great that we're in the mix. We're against... two or three or four or five unbelievable good managers and clubs and sizes of clubs. We're great that we're in this company. Yeah. We've just got to keep going. We're on to the next game.
Do you know what I call that? Dancing.
Well, got dance then.
Yeah. That's dancing. You have to.
You have to.
You have to.
Because you can't start saying, oh, well, and getting carried away.
Yeah.
The focus is just keeping on the next training session and the next game.
And with the boys, was it hard to work with? I know that... I don't mean to get them up. I mean to get them down.
No, because as soon as we played our song, once we won again, we would then, right, see you next day, see you next training session, and bang, we're at it again. Lads coming in with buzz and a smile on their face, but knowing they're going to graft, work, get organised to go and get the next result. But then I remember we played Notts County away on the TV, and... obviously, they were in the playoffs at the time. They just dropped away as another team. We just dropped away. They weren't in the title race, but they were certainly in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And we'd gone there and lost 3-2. Gave a penalty away in
injury time. I watched the game on the telly, actually.
For the first time, walked in the change room at Notts County, and there must have been about eight games to go, and the lads were not one head up.
Yeah.
Not one head up, and they thought... That game, and Torquay had just gone top. We were top, and Torquay had just gone top.
Yeah.
And I remember saying to the lads, don't care about Torquay's results. Don't care about anything. It's the only little bit I said.
Yeah.
I said, we're not out of this. And it's a hard one to take tonight. But we've got two home games, Woking and Weymouth. We get 6 points, and I believe we'll be back top again. And we were. And then the belief came back in. And I say back in. The belief was back in when we walked out of Notts County Exchange Room.
Yeah.
The lads were like, okay, we know where we're at. Yeah. And we went and won those two games. And we went in top of the league. And then suddenly Hartlepool dropped away. And then it left it just us and Torquay.
And I'll bring you back to that because I'll never forget this as long as I know. Because I end up at Barnet with Simon Bassey, helping him out for 9 weeks. End up in there 2 years, but... for 9 weeks, and we had Torquay away.
Yeah.
And we were just trying to lift a sunken ship, really. And to be fair, I always thought Bass did a great job with it, but that's a whole different story. But we had Torquay away, And did we beat him or draw?
Draw 2-0.
We drew 2-2, yeah. Which effectively,
put it in our hands. Because so happened to be with TV, obviously, with BT Sport at the time, obviously in the title race and games going on. But it seemed like we was always playing second and Torquay were playing first. We had to sort of... We were playing first a little bit. It was always in Torquay. We was always struggling a little bit with Torquay just winning their game in hand, going back above us. And it was always so close.
Yeah.
But we managed to go on a little run. They drew a couple. And then it was in our hands. This is late on. There's 2 games to go.
Do you remember what you texted me? Can you remember or not? Because I remember the time I remember coming into the dressing room and had a mess.
Oh, after the game?
Yeah.
Probably like the kisses as well.
No, I'll tell the punters. I've come in and there's a mess, Matt Gray, and I've put it on. It simply said, "I love you."
Yeah. Exactly. We're playing Hartlepool on the Sunday on the TV, and Torquay had Barnet on the Saturday at 3:00. Now, if Torquay dropped points, then if we beat Hartlepool, we've won it.
Yeah.
Now, Barnet, obviously Bass and yourself did a great job turning it around, but they were in big trouble before you came in.
Yeah.
But you really made them solid. But we're a team down the bottom end of the table.
Yeah.
And Torquay were obviously in the title race for us.
That's why I took it back, because you spoke about a similar situation with Sutton and Torquay earlier in the interview.
Yeah.
And that's why I said
previous season.
I'll go back to
it. So we trained on the Saturday morning. And now I remember like driving away from Sutton's ground at lunchtime thinking, what am I going to do this afternoon? I thought, I can't look it on my phone. I was at such a loose end. I didn't know what to do, thinking if they drop points today, we can win it tomorrow.
Yeah.
If they don't and Torquay win, then we've got to win tomorrow to keep it in our hands again, going to Barnet away last game of the season.
Yeah.
So it was such a nervy weekend. And I remember going back to mine, I got into mine. Actually lived in Barnet at the time, and that's where I'm from, but I walked back in mine at 2:50. And I thought, right, that's it. I'm not going to look at the phone. I'm just going to watch something on TV, keep away from the football. 3:10. I thought, I'll quickly have a little look here. I'll have a quick check here. Go on Twitter. And Torquay, great chance. Torquay, great chance. Yeah. And I'm thinking, oh, right, okay. And I thought, I'll leave it again. And I walked, padded around mine for another 10, 15 minutes. Check it. 1-0 Torquay.
Yeah.
2-0 Torquay. And I'll go, okay, that's that then. We'll have to go and get a result tomorrow. We have to beat Hartlepool. Obviously a tough game to keep it in our hands. Back pressure on us. Just before half time, late on minute.
Yeah.
First half, Barnet got goal back.
That's right, yeah.
Oh. And I remember thinking at half time, I was thinking, I felt sick. I'm not gonna lie to you. I felt sick. And I'm thinking, what I just didn't know. I couldn't do anything. And I walked down to, there's a Waitrose down the back of Barnet High Street. I just walked around Waitrose and I didn't need anything, Dave. And I walked around, walked down every aisle, came out with nothing and walked back to mine. I remember just thinking, I just don't know what to do here. And then suddenly, I can't remember what minute it was, but Barnet got the equaliser with 15:20 to go. And now it's game on, isn't it? And I remember it was probably the longest 15-20 minutes. And then suddenly, full-time whistle, my phone has gone...
It exploded.
Mental.
Yeah.
Yeah, mental. Yeah. You can win it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But
which, again, you have to deal
with. Yeah.
You have to deal with. I mean, there's 2 things I'd say. The one is that, I know Gary and we were doing our job in both occasions. We played you oddly enough at Sutton
in the running.
Our goalkeeper, remember, he had a bad injury.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a tight
half game. We won 1-0 corner late on.
Late on, with the reserve team. But I remember watching the team play under the pressure of trying to win a league, because it's difficult. I'm in Barnet's dugout, and effectively we're safe and we're not, and we're playing with a freedom, albeit with limited sort of talent.
Yeah.
But I remember watching a team play under pressure. So I get that. So now you've got to bring it yourself and all.
Yeah. So my phone's going mad on that Saturday night, and we can win it tomorrow. And obviously no communication with the players. And I am just being, and I was quickly to snap into, I'm such a routine person as well. I'm so organised and restructured.
I'm still in a house with you.
So straight away, I'm back into my routine that I do the night before a game. So I go and do my routine night before a game, and I just, I'm very methodical in what I do. Wake up the next morning, I always go for a walk on a match day, 45 minutes, same walk, up on the Sunday morning, same walk, headphones on. But I'm not going to lie to you, your stomach churning. Churning. And you're thinking it's the day that you're going to create history and in my second season as a manager, win the National League, which is so hard to do, you know. Certainly with the clubs that are, you know, trying to get out of it as well.
It's massive. And I didn't, until you listed the clubs that were in it that season, I'd sort of, you forget that massive.
Yes, massive clubs.
It's a Leicester City. It really is.
It really is. And then you go to the ground and I'm seeing Shan and people there crying, and their dads was chairman and played for the club, and you're getting out the car and they're going, it's the day they can create history. And
was there crowds allowed back then?
It was mad, the timing of it. We were allowed a percentage, and I can't remember what the percentage was of your stadium, but we were there was 1,100 in there, and that was the max that was allowed.
Yeah.
And of course, it would have been, there'd have been people crawling everywhere. And I was so, I remember, emotional, nervous. There was so much emotion going through me. Yeah. I remember the vice chairman, Adrian, who's so passionate and bleeds Sutton United. He couldn't even talk to me before the game.
Wow.
Couldn't even talk to me. And just,
you have to deal with it.
The emotion. But what I've said to you previously when we chatted 20 minutes ago, when I said to you, I then walk in an hour and a half, like I always did, into the change room. And I was half shaking. Walked in and opened the door and saw Craig Eastman, the captain, sitting in the far left-hand corner. And he just looked at me and nodded.
Yeah, wow.
And I thought,
we're all right.
We've won it.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
And I just suddenly felt so calm. And I was worried about the night before. I'm like feeling really emotional, thinking, I'm 6'3" and a big ball geezer. Start blubbering my eyes out if we go and win it. And I was thinking, how emotional am I going to be? I was so calm.
Yeah.
And I just knew. And we managed to win 3-0 on the day. And,
which is,
And the last 10 minutes, knowing that
you've won the league. They're still a long 10 minutes, aren't they?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But I think as well, and it's an unbelievable achievement, you know, and with about 20 minutes left, because I'm going to sort of go an hour and 10, something like that. So I don't want to move off it, because it was such an achievement. For odd enough, we played you, was it the week after? I think you were still drunk when we played you, to be fair. Yeah. I don't want to go into that, but because we won and I'm claiming the victory. So let's sort of move on a little bit and talk about what happens next, you know, because you then go into the Football League and have an unbelievable season the next season.
Yeah. Just, it was mad. And that's, it was, of course, you've won the league. And like you said, the week, and you have a couple of days celebrating. Of course you do. Yeah. Well, more than a couple of days. But you celebrate.
It's tough to be celebrating.
Of course, it's the achievement.
Yeah.
But I remember within a matter of days of knowing we were a Football League club, sitting down and thinking about what we had to do. Now, suddenly, I look at clubs. Well, look at all those clubs who are now promoted, Wrexhams and Stockports and Chesterfields. They were Football League clubs.
Yeah.
Their stadiums, the infrastructure, they've used to be in a Football League club.
Yeah.
And even like a Bromley, unbelievable to go up last season and have a great season this year.
Yeah.
But they were planning to be a Football League club. Their infrastructure, their facilities.
The change over the years at Bromley's.
Bromley were gearing to be ready. It wasn't a shock to them when it happened. Sutton United, we wanted to start and say a National League club.
We weren't
even thinking about being a Football League club.
Because now you've got the pitch to deal with.
I remember loads of people talking to me over the months leading up to being a Football League club. What about if we do it? Where are we going to train? What are we going to do? I wouldn't talk or listen to anybody. I didn't want to know or start planning. Or what if we became a Football League club until we crossed the line? So it was crossing the line, and then having 4 weeks before pre-season started, I was driving around looking for training grounds. I was meeting paint and decorators, getting going. I was building a club, let alone managing one. And that's when it really changed there for me, at the start of the workload of not just managing a team, of having to do everything else, but as you said, an unbelievable first season of, again, a bit of a slow start, but then getting going and finishing on 76 points. And
that was, you missed out by a point, was it?
Yeah, a point is really hard. We went to Harrogate on the last game of the season. We had to win and hope one of four teams dropped points and we'd have been in it. And all the other four won. Three teams.
Yeah.
And all the other three won. And it was the first time in I think it was 16 years that a League Two team had finished on 76 points and not got into the playoffs. And then the Wembley final as well. And
yeah,
being 2-1 up in the 97th minute against Rotherham.
97th minute, yeah. I know. It was
a very, it was an unbelievable season, but yeah, close on a couple of factors. So, but yeah. Amazing season.
We're skirting over it really because of time, because I could spend as long.
It could
long,
be an episode.
It could be another episode. It's
fantastic.
You're dealing with Football League, you're dealing with there's new investment in the club, which changes the parameters of everything.
Yep.
Because other people come in above you. You're dealing with taking a Leicester City. You're taking something into the Football League and then nearly take them to within a heartbeat of the playoffs. So unbelievable success. But then the following season, do you think there was a hangover to how close you were?
I'll be honest with you, Dave. It's the first time I'm going to disagree with you today.
Yeah.
I thought it was an unbelievable second season. We finished 14th in League Two, Sutton United. 14th in League Two. And we went into the Easter weekend. We were 4 points.
No. Yeah. No, I'm talking about... I think...
The second season, then the third season.
Yes. Beg your pardon. Yeah, the second season.
We went into the Easter weekend 4 points off the playoffs.
I'd done you out of a season.
You'd done me, yeah. You forget that middle season.
The 14th
in League Two. We were 4 points off the playoffs, 8 games to go. We were at home to Stockport on the Good Easter Friday and lost 1-0. Really close game. And then went up to Bradford on the Monday. In front of 22,000.
Wow.
And got beat 3-1. So we lost both games over Easter, which curtailed our season and put us out of the playoff mix. And then we fizzled out there. It was a tough little period. Few injuries, lost my captain. Couple of players, little niggles.
Yeah.
Knew they were going on to bigger and better things. Didn't play. Little tough little period. Yeah. And we fizzled and dropped down and finished 14th. Now, If you'd have said at the start of my managerial career, after your fourth season, you're going to finish 14th in League Two, yeah, I'd have bitten your hand off.
Who wouldn't?
And again, an unbelievable season. Really good season. Of course, not as good as the previous one, but still, I think anyone would have. In the first season, you'd taken 14th in the league.
On the learning curve as a manager, now you're an experienced manager. But formula the same?
Yeah. Tweaked and improved, and you're playing against better managers.
Yourself, personally?
Yeah. You're always improving and evolving, but managers, you know, at Bradford that day was Mark Hughes standing next to me, you know, and it's, yeah, look who he's managed. Yeah. International manager, Premier League manager. And you're coming up against, you're constantly improving and coming up to get bigger and better clubs and managers. And yeah, you've got to learn, you've got to improve. Yeah. But yeah.
Got to enjoy that as well.
Yeah. Brilliant. Superb.
Yeah. And then, which is, so I've done you that season really because I'm looking at the time, but I wanted to get to the season when you leave the club.
Yeah.
What do you think went wrong?
Probably another episode in itself, though.
Is it really?
Yeah. I think there's accumulation of a lot of things. Being quick. The dynamic of the club changed.
Yeah.
The dynamic of the club changed completely. But I'll talk in terms of a football side of things.
Yeah.
Recruited so well in my first season. Hardcore nucleus of squad, added one or two, won the National League second season. Signed 5 players that year, kept everyone, signed 5 players because we transfer window and we needed a bigger squad. And all 5 players came up from the National League with us. Four did, one didn't. Ricky Corbo had just been released by Northampton. Further season, 4 or 5 out, 4 or 5 in.
Yep.
End of the fourth season, no fault of my own. Yeah. Or control, but because we've done so well for 4 years, lost a lot of players, couldn't keep financially keep hold of him.
Double-edged sword.
And now suddenly turnaround of 13 players.
It's hard to get all them right.
Get them all right, and then pre-season trying to get them into doing what you're doing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then injuries on top of that. Lost both my left backs. Captain Eastman injured hamstring, out for 5 months. Lost my centre forward. Cascade was the runner in behind. Suddenly accumulations of a hell of a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I certainly probably didn't feel like I was at my best either.
Why?
Burnt out. Exhausted.
I've got it wrote here. Burnout. I've actually got it wrote down here. Yeah.
I felt there was personal stuff that is life and things go on, but were going on away from football for me at that time, which was really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
As well as the football and the change within the club and the injuries and the new players. But the biggest thing is I felt, like I said, I was involved in everything within the club because we didn't have the infrastructure or people or facilities in place, and we weren't ready to be a football league club, and everything fell on my lap. And I was 24/7, 7 days a week for a hell of a long period, and I felt exhausted with it all. And I love Sutton United absolutely in my heart for what we've achieved and the good people that are there. But I was gutted to leave, and I miss it, and I miss the club, but it was the best thing for me.
Yeah, I remember speaking to you after we covered this over a few beers in America where I was talking to you. So
it was the best thing for me.
It's a story I've heard before.
To recharge and to come back now into my next job.
Lessons learned from it. Now, don't get me wrong, look, I don't want to focus too much on negatives because we've been talking for just close to an hour, and it's been mainly positive. Your career's been exceptional. But I always feel that you progress by what you learn when it hasn't been going so good. So what lessons have you learned?
After I needed a break, and we went to Spain golfing and to the Masters, and I've had different holidays as well in that first few months. I needed to take the break and the switch off. But since then, I meet Jace once a week and go through. We've watched so many games together of other clubs, other teams, but certainly of us as well. Yeah. And I think it's really important. Of course, we slightly tweak or change things, but it's also to look back on your positives and what you did do well.
Four and a half years
and having four unbelievable seasons and a tricky few months.
Yeah.
And of course, I felt I needed to have the break, and it was the best thing for me.
Yeah.
I believed I would have kept some of the players I'd lined up in the January transfer window and the players I'd coming back. I believe I'd have given them a right good go of staying up in that league because I believed in myself and what we were doing. And it was a dodgy little period that they stuck through me right at the start, and I'd have weathered the storm. Yeah. And I believe
was
in
that. Was that the change in the infrastructure above you, do you think?
Yeah, and the pressure of trying to make sure they stay as a league club. There's other factors, of course, in that. But I believed in myself and what I was doing. But to reflect and go through with Jace, meet him once a week and still do, and looking at how can we do that better? Like I'm saying, I'm so organised in what I'm doing. Yeah. How can we do this better, that better? Training sessions, it's been invaluable. I feel so energised, fresh.
Yeah.
And a miles better manager upon the time of reflection to look back.
And the lessons, what are the lessons?
Lessons, I don't think I'm ever going to manage, because there isn't ever going to be a Sutton United again of me managing a club that is not ready or in that position. Yeah. You look at all the National League clubs now, they've got all the infrastructure of the people and the full-time people behind them to help the manager take a lot off of them. And when I go into my next club, I know I'm going to have the owner and the director of football and the support staff around that are going to take a hell of a lot of weight off of me to concentrate on what I'm good at and the best things that I do, and that's the coaching and preparing a team to go and get a result of the weekend.
Yeah, and just on that I think it'd be wrong to name clubs because that wouldn't be professional, but I know because I said at the start of the interview we're friends, I know you've turned jobs down.
Yeah.
And I know you've gone for jobs and haven't been successful. Give me rhymes and reasons why you would turn a job down. It doesn't have to be the ones you've turned down.
No, different timings, certainly initially. So from January to the end of the season last year. Yeah. I turned 4 jobs down. Nothing to do with the clubs or anything at all. It was me.
Yeah.
I knew I still wasn't right. I know the freshness, the energy, the drive, the hunger, the determination I had when I became manager, and I knew I'd get that back, but I just needed that little period to recharge. I needed my little lockdown again. Yeah. Yeah. I needed my little shutdown, and I got to the end of the season, and a League Two club asked me to go for an interview, just missed out that in the final two.
Yeah.
So now I had to wait for the season to start, but now I'm feeling ready. Now I'm feeling like I'm ready to get back in.
Eager,
yeah. And now you have to wait. But now it's important. It is important, like I said, to get those boxes ticked. You're not going to get them all ticked, but the relationship with owners and board and the infrastructure of the club and location can be a factor as well. And you know, I've earned the right to be a league manager. I've done well as a league manager.
Doesn't mean you're going to be one.
Doesn't mean
you've earned the right
to be a league manager.
And just on that, just to go back a little bit. You know, with Sutton, I know at the time when you had your success, and I missed out, and I have it wrote down here, that there was other interest. You effectively could have left Sutton to go to different clubs, and you chose not to. You chose to be loyal. In hindsight, do you have any regrets of that? Is that
not at all. I remember the loyalty that Bruce showed in me, and I certainly wanted to repay that to him and Adrian and the club, but I was so happy. I was happy with my chairman and vice chairman. I was happy with the squad that I got. I was happy where I was living. I was happy with.
Yeah.
We were flying, and to jump, it just didn't feel right. There was nothing really that turned my head with it. There was interest, not just after winning the National League season, but also after the first season of the Football League as well, and the second.
Yeah.
So, but I never felt that I wanted to leave, and I wanted.
And you
to.
Have to, and knowing you like I do, and the decisions you've made to go for jobs and effectively turn jobs down in the last 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
You're a thorough guy and you're a patient guy, and I think in hindsight as well, and you will get back in. It's only where, when, you know, from a personal point of view, that effectively you're right. I think. You needed the break, because if you didn't get it, you don't know where. You understand how managers end up.
No, the break has done me so good for so many reasons. One, to energise and
reflect,
but also the LMA are absolutely brilliant in terms of the courses that they put on, and I go and meet and see different aspects of what they look to offer. Going to see other managers work. I'm fortunate enough Neil Harris, I went in with Mill just before he left. But I had a week with Thomas Frank at Brentford, the Monday to Saturday, in everything, every meeting, every training session. I just literally followed him around.
What an experience.
And that was absolutely unbelievable. So to go and watch other people work at different levels, I've watched so many games. I've done a bit of co-commentary for BBC London. I'm meeting Jace once a week. I'm living and breathing football.
The knee will be better for golf soon.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, I had to have a little knee up as well, so I've got that done, and that's all good now. So, this period has been absolutely brilliant for me, for so many reasons, and I'm looking forward to getting back in.
Yeah, and I'm going to finish closely on that because I got to a day where I went, I don't want to go back in. I actually got to that. You're not at that. You want back in now, don't you? And
I had a few months that I didn't, though, Dave, which was the first time in my life.
Yeah.
Because it's my first managerial job, and it is totally different to being an assistant.
Yeah.
And for that unique job that I had for that period of time, no one else has had to do what I've done as a manager. I defy anyone having to do what I've done behind the scenes as a manager, and it certainly took it out of me. So to have that period of, there were some good clubs and some interesting jobs to go back into. I felt I wasn't 100% ready to go back in
again. And I think that's honourable because it's easy to take the money and take the job, and I don't think that's you at all. You know, you never know when the next one is, do you?
No.
And I was saying to you about when jokingly, half serious, when you said about I didn't fancy that job and I didn't fancy that job, and I went, this time next year you might, because that's the sell. But your sell back date's fine because of what you've achieved. But so you're ready to rock and roll again, yeah?
I am, Dave, yeah.
Well, I have to tell you, we've done about an hour and 10 minutes, and it's the least I've ever spoken in a conversation between me and you, but I hope people enjoy it as much as I have, and your honesty, as always, has been good, and I wish you well, son. Thank you very much.
See you on the golf course soon, Dave.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Cheers.
Cheers, mate.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA.